move your mountain. Somebody say a force called faith. Say it again, a force called faith. You know, in Star Wars, they said, may the force be with you. Faith is a force that God's given us, and we need to utilize it. But we're in Romans chapter 10, verse 8. And Sunday morning, I spent that time talking to you about the power of confession and the importance of your confession. And I just want to revisit a little bit of this and the power of what speaking the Word of God does. Somebody say, speak the Word. You know, I have you say a lot of things during service, and that's intentional. It's by design. Because whether you realize it or not, what goes out your mouth comes back into your ears, back through your mind, and when it comes to the Word of God, sinks down into your heart. And so when I have you say something, it's not just me looking for something to find for you to do. Okay, I ask you that for a very intentional reason. It's just like whenever I'm preaching and you hear people clapping. Maybe you've never been to a church where people clap whenever the preacher's preaching, and maybe that's distracting to you, but here's the deal. I'm not giving a political speech. I'm not up there stumping. Okay, we're not clapping for a man. We're clapping at the Word of God. We're celebrating the fact that God's Word is that good, and it explodes on the inside of us, and that's like a light bulb moment for everybody in the room. Amen? So don't ever be afraid to be a part of being active participants in a service, because I've told you before, you don't just go to church. Okay? You don't go to church. You are the church, and we should celebrate what God's doing. Again, Palm Sunday and Easter, two services both those weekends. It's critical that you show up to them. The world will be here. The church needs to be here too. Okay? The world's going to come to church, and you're going to bring them. Amen? Okay, Romans chapter 10, verse 8, the power of confession. And here's what it says. If you have a Bible, I really want you to look at this in your Bible tonight. And it says this. It says, but what does it say? The word is near you. Somebody say, the word is near me. The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. In your mouth and in your heart. Where is the word? It should be in your mouth and it should be in your heart. Okay, both those places. That is the word of what? Faith. Paul calls the gospel the word of faith. He's talking specifically about how you get saved. He calls the gospel the word of faith which we preach. Should we preach the word of faith? Absolutely. Paul did. Verse 9. That if you confess, somebody say confess. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you might be saved. He says you will be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart, somebody say heart. For with the heart one believes. What do you do with your heart? For with the heart one what? Believes. For with the heart one believes. For with the heart you believe unto righteousness. Righteousness is what? Right standing with God. Thank you, Kim. Righteousness is right standing with God. We're going to say that together on the count of three. One, two, three. Righteousness is right standing with God. Let's say it again. Righteousness is right standing with God. What is righteousness? Oh, I like that. That was everybody. What is righteousness? What is righteousness? How many of you want to be righteous? You want to be in right standing with God. Amen? So the Bible says, for with the heart one believes. What do you do with your heart? You believe unto right standing with God. Believing in my heart puts me in right standing with God. Abraham, the father of our faith, believed God, Kevin, and God accounted it to him for righteousness. In other words, God credited righteousness to Abraham's account. You have a heavenly account. God is keeping books on you. Do you know that tonight? Every word you say, every deed you do, every thought you think, he knows them before you say them, do them, or think them. They're all recorded in books in heaven. Some of us have more books than others. The Josh Payne Library. Not all good. Right standing. Okay, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. God put righteousness, Missy, to Abraham's heavenly account in his name. Everything he did was not righteous. We know that. The Bible says, your righteousness is as filthy rags. But believing in God places me in right standing with him. And when I believe in Jesus Christ and what he did for me at the cross of Calvary, here's what happened. In spite of all the debt that I have on the books because of sin in heaven, in spite of that debt, when I believe in Jesus Christ, God credits his righteousness, his right standing to my account. In other words, what's in Jesus' heavenly account all of a sudden gets transferred to my heavenly account. Let me put it like this. If Bill Gates, everything in his accounts, got transferred to your account. You get some amens. Hallelujah. Yes, I receive it. Prophesy, preacher. Right? Does that make sense tonight? See, you ought to be smiling that you're a Christian. We ought to be happy. If we're not being happy about this, let's just go to the bar. They're smiling. Right? We ought to be happy. We ought to be the happiest people on the face of the planet. So, the Bible says, again, verse 10, for with a heart one believes. What do I do with my heart? I believe unto righteousness. It's the vehicle that gets me to righteousness. My heart believing, I believe unto. Unto means the point reached or entered. So, I reach righteousness by believing in my heart. Unto means the point reached or entered. Unto means the point reached or entered. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. I reach righteousness. Righteousness is the point I enter through believing in my heart. Does that make sense to everybody? So, believing in my heart is the vehicle that gets me into or unto a place called righteousness, a place of right standing before God. And is a connecting word. There's something else. I'm going to give you $5 and I'm going to give you a Snickers. That was pretty random, but you got my point. And I got food on the brain. And is a connecting word. Okay, so he says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, or with the heart I believe I enter into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Do you see that it's the exact same language there? For believing in your heart is confessing with your mouth. Do you see that it separates a place of righteousness with the completion of your salvation? It says two things there. Do you see that? For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Salvation is entered. Salvation is the point I reach by confessing with my what? How do I confess something? With my mind? With my heart? With my mouth? Okay, the devil wants you to shut your mouth. Well, Josh, I praise God from my heart. Josh, I pray from my heart. Josh, No. You never see anything in the Word of God about being silent. Amen? When the church was born on the day of Pentecost and the fire of God fell, what was it marked by? It was marked by a sound. Amen? There should be a sound that comes from our lives. There should be the sound of victory every time we come into this place. And it is the sound of a people who have been redeemed and bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, who are unashamed and unafraid to open their mouths and say something. Psalm says, let the redeemed of the Lord not think so, not feel so, say so. You've got to say so. Why? Because when I say it, I am releasing the power of God from heaven into earth and into my life and situation. So we're saved by believing in our what? Heart. And confessing with our what? Mouth. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now get this. There's only one kind of faith. There is not a bunch of different kinds of faith. There is one kind of faith. How many types of faith are there? There's just one faith with God. Same faith that gets you saved is the same faith you need to get healed. Same faith that got you saved is the same faith you need to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Same faith you had to get saved is the same faith you need for protection over your life every single day. The same faith it took for you to get saved is the same faith for you to walk in purpose and find the will and plan of God for your life. Now, I find that by getting into His Word, Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do I do that? I reprogram my mind by using God's Word. This teaches me to think the way God thinks. I can't live like God wants me to live until I think like He thinks. Amen? Because as a man thinks, so is he. Are you following me tonight? Okay, so this is the written will of God right here. This is written to all God's children. As a matter of fact, the saddest thing to me is this is written to every human being on earth. It's already for them. Okay, this is the Word of God. The Word of God is the will of God. Where can I find the will of God? In the Word of God. And where can I find, what do I find in the Word of God? The will of God. Where can I find the will of God? The Word of God. And what's in the Word of God? The will of God. And faith begins where the will of God is known. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Pastor Ken reiterated it last Wednesday night, that faith begins with a knowledge of God. It begins when I know Him. It begins where I know the will of God for my life. I can't have faith in God until I know that. Because when I know God's will, then I know that His plans are to prosper me and not to harm me, to give me a future and a hope, that Jesus came that I could have life and have it more abundantly. We don't trust people we don't know. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We're satisfied to be king dumb, so we're being devoured by our own choice. And then we turn around and we ask God, why are you doing this to me? Am I on the right track? Okay. So faith is something that comes from where? I believe in my heart and I confess with my... Does the Bible connect what's in your heart with what's it comes out of your mouth? In the most important event of your entire life, and that's the day you're born again. How many of you would agree that is the greatest day of my life was the day, not the day I was born, but the day I was born again? Because on that day, I wasn't just breathing, I started living. For me, I was 20 years old. How old were you? 26, 46, 60, 50. Isn't that awesome? 60 years you breathed, but you didn't live. 16. Oh, I got you. 16. I was a little younger. You know, 80% of every person that's born again will do so before they're 18. If you got kids under 18, get them here on Wednesday nights. Get them here on Sundays. My babies were all on the front row Sunday morning when we watched a lady get out of a wheelchair and walk 30 feet for the first time in 7 years. That's why I love the fact that we don't have kids' church on Sundays. They'll never, ever, ever forget that. Anna spent the rest of service drawing something for me, and it just crushed me. It melted me in a good way. And it was a picture of a wheelchair and a lady standing with her arms raised saying, "Hallelujah, Jesus healed me." And it said hope and faithful. And I mean, for our kids to see that, man, that's what this is all about. Amen? Them seeing and believing in not just the words of a man, but in the power of God. So there's just one kind of faith with God, and the same type of faith that saved you is the same type of faith that will meet your need. You believed and confessed your way into salvation, didn't you? Okay, you believed in your heart, you confessed with your mouth. You believed unto righteousness, you confessed unto salvation. Okay? So, if that's the way salvation came into your life, then let me tell you, you'll believe in your heart and confess your way into healing. You'll believe in your heart and confess your way into prosperity. God wants every single person in this place, every born-again believer, to prosper. I am so tired of hearing people dog out this message because they don't understand. It doesn't mean everybody's going to have $1 million, a mansion, and a Mercedes. It means that you can have more than enough because God will prosper you for the purpose of establishing His covenant in the earth. Somebody's got to fund the gospel. They funded Jesus. Jesus couldn't do what He did unless people followed Him. So that's why you got to get excited when you connect to a house like this that has a vision. We exist for one reason and one reason only. That vision determines and dictates every decision we make, every dollar we spend, every song we sing, every sermon we preach, every coffee we serve, every donut we hand you is saturated by the vision, and that is to reach our world with the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ, and we do it through the power of the Holy Spirit because He is the multiplier. He's why we are where we are. He's the accelerating factor. He's the reason why in 10 years God could do the impossible in a place like this. He's what makes your inability your new ability. He makes impossibilities probabilities. When Mary was going to be conceived and have child and still be a virgin, she said, how? And here's what the angel said. The angel said, the Holy Spirit. When you ask how, the answer is still the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Amen. So you believe and you're going to confess your way into the other things too, into the things of God, the exact same way you did for salvation. Now somebody say confession. Confession. We have that word there in our scripture, and here's what confession means. Confession is the Greek word homologio, and it means to speak the same thing. To speak the same thing. Okay? Who are we saying the same thing as? We should be saying the same thing as God. And I showed you this Sunday that when we have that divine alignment, just like our cars, and when my words line up with His words, then I begin releasing His life, His power, His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Because when God created the world, Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. God spoke and it was. He didn't say what He saw. Amen. He saw darkness, but He said light. As a person of faith, you've got to declare what the will of God is. Romans chapter 4 talks about God in the context of Abraham, who calls things that are not just like they already are. It's talking about Abraham, whose name was Abram. Abraham had no child, okay, and God changes his name from Abram to Abraham. Abraham means father of a multitude or father of nations. He still didn't have a kid yet, the child of promise, with his wife whose name was Sarai, and God changed her name to Sarah. He gave him a promise that you're going to have a baby, the two of you. They didn't have that baby until Abraham was 100 years old. But they spent many, many years with that name change. God changes Abraham's name from Abram to Abraham, father of a multitude, and Sarai to Sarah, which, if I'm not mistaken, it's princess. She didn't feel like a princess. You were cursed as a woman in those days if you had no children. She did not feel like a princess. But God changed what they were calling each other. He was changing what they were saying about each other. They had a promise in their heart, but now God was hooking up what was in their heart with what they were saying with their mouth. And every time she looked at him and said, Abraham, she was saying, hey, father of multitude, come on over here. You imagine what that did for his ego? Like, yeah, a little swagger. I am a father of a multitude. And every time he said to her, hey, princess, come on over here. You know, that was instilling confidence in them. And they believed God could do what He promised He could do. And they grew stronger every day by giving glory to God. And at age 100, they have a baby of promise. And his name is Isaac. But the Bible says in Romans 4 that God called something that was not as if it already was. God called Abraham a father not just of one, but a father of a multitude, because he said your descendants will be as the stars in the sky or the sand on the seashore. He called him that before he ever even had one kid. What was he doing? He was calling something that was not like it is. Creation morning, God steps out and he sees darkness, but he says light. He's calling something that was not as if it already is. When we are people of faith, the force of faith, then we don't speak to things the way they are. We speak to things as God has desired and called for them to be in our lives. Does that make sense tonight? Just like that thermostat on the wall, there's two things in there. There's a thermometer and there's a thermostat. A thermometer tells me what already is. A thermostat is my ability to set what will be. Your words are the exact same way. Some of you are using your words as a thermometer, and you're just repeating what's already there. Any fool can do that. That takes no faith or foresight whatsoever. But a thermostat, if I use my words like that, then I begin to speak not what I see, not what I think, not what I feel, not whatever the report that has come in is, not what I've heard. I begin to speak what God said. And as I speak what God said, then all of a sudden I'm changing the atmosphere. I'm declaring not what is, I'm declaring what could be, what should be, and what will be. Because he said in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. When I speak the word, I am sending the word into that thing. I am speaking it over and into my children's lives. I'm speaking it over and into my situation. I'm speaking it over and into my circumstances. The devil loves it when you praise his report and all you do is tell what he's been doing. Amen? But when we open our mouths and declare the word of God, then we declare what Jesus has done and what Jesus is doing. And I want to teach you how to do that tonight. And this is where I just want to slow down a little bit and explain what this means so that some of you can really grab hold of what it means to confess the word. Because I shared with you Sunday, there's something very unique that happens as we speak the word. And we'll get to that in a second. I want you to go over to Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. Somebody say confession. Confession precedes possession. Let's say it again. Confession precedes possession. Yeah, that was horrible. Let's try it again. Confession precedes possession. Okay? Remember Jesus said in Mark 11:23, you'll have whatever you say. All right? That works two ways. People come to me all the time and are blown away that I can remember most people here's name. Well, I didn't learn them all at once. I watched you come in one at a time. I prayed for you to be here. I value you. And then generally, here's what their comment back to me will always be. I'm not good with remembering names. Well, you never will be. Because you're going to have what you say. Amen? I told you I'm never down. I'm either up or getting up. Right? It doesn't mean I don't get knocked down, right? It means I refuse to say, man, I'm down, I'm out, I'm defeated, I'm this, I'm that. I'm going to declare what God says about me, okay? And that's where we've got to keep our words in our faith. So right now I want to show you how you can confess the word and what it does for you. And we're just going to take some time with this. Matthew chapter 8, and we're looking at verse 17. And I'm going to show you how to take the word of God and make it your own. I've told you before that in my Bible, at the beginning of the New Testament and the beginning of the Old Testament, I wrote, Dear Josh, ... This is not just God's word to you. This is God's word for you. And I'm going to show you how to make it your own and take ownership of it tonight. Because Jesus bought and paid for these promises for you with his own blood. You've got to pick them up and take them. Romans 8, verse 17 says, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now watch this. When I confess the word, here's what I'll do. I'll say, Jesus himself took, not our, but my infirmities. I'm making something that is general very personal. He himself took my infirmities and he bore my sicknesses. And I take that promise and I declare it out of my mouth. I speak it out loud over my life, over my body, over my family, over our situation. Amen? Psalms 118, verse 17, Chris, if we could see that one. It says this, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. I take that promise just like it is, and I declare it just like that. I declare it when I pray. I declare it when I'm speaking. I think about that. I shall not die, but I will live and declare the works of the Lord. When something tries coming on my body physically, when there's pain in my chest or whatever it might be, I shall not die, but I will live and I will declare the works of the Lord. I am releasing the healing power of God into my body, into my situation, into my kids, into that person I'm praying for. Why? Because there is no power in my word, but confession is to say the same thing as. And when my word lines up with his word, then I'm releasing the power of that specific promise into their situation. Is this making sense? Let's go to Mark chapter 16. I love Mark 16. Mark chapter 16. And let's start with verse 16. ...800 people there last night. That's awesome. They had big concert. So Mr. Wild does a great job at the school with the choral program. Y'all give him a hand tonight. Okay, Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized will be, not might be, saved. I believe and I'm baptized and therefore I am saved. Amen? I make that my own. But he who does not believe will be condemned. I'm no longer that person. That used to be me. But verse 17, and these signs or these miracles will follow those who believe. So here's what I say. These signs follow me because I believe. In the name of Jesus, I cast out demons. In the name of Jesus, I speak with new tongues. In the name of Jesus, if I take up serpents or if I drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt me, not them. I lay hands on the sick and they recover. Do you see that? Now, if you do this enough, something that you need to read right now and write down is going to become memory, and all of a sudden it's just coming out of your mouth one after another. Well, because what you put in is what comes out. If all you put in is scandal, that's all that's going to come out, right? If all you put in is The Voice or American Idol or whatever, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with all that. I do all that. I watch all that, most of that. But I sift through it. You got to be careful. But you got to put the word in. Amen? Because what goes in is what comes out. Let's go over to John chapter 10, verse 27. Let's look at this one. John chapter 10, verse 27. I like this one. I say that to all of them. John 10, 27. It says, this is Jesus speaking. Everything in red is Jesus. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Well, I'm one of his sheep. So here's what I say. I'm his sheep, and I know his voice. That's my promise, that I know and I can discern the voice of my master, the voice of my shepherd, the voice of the one who's leading me. I hear his voice and I know him and I follow him because I hear him. That's powerful. Amen? Let's look down at chapter 14, verse 27. John 14, verse 27. I'm seeing them jump all over the place and it's driving me nuts. It says, peace I leave with you, Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. How many of you know that's a good promise? So Jesus left me his peace. I have the peace of God, not like the world gives, did He give to me. My heart is not troubled and it's not afraid because I walk in the peace of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. I take that promise and I make it my own. Let's go over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. I'm taking the promises of God and I'm making them my own because Jesus bought and paid for them for me with His blood. They belong to us. Romans 8:11. Here's what it says. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Dwells in who? Dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. And so here's what I'm saying. As I claim that promise, I'm saying the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is dwelling on the inside of me. And if He raised Jesus' body from the dead, He's raising my body back from the dead. And let me tell you that sickness is limited death. Sickness is killing an area, not all of your body, but an area of your body. So when I have the revelation that my body, Allie, is the temple of the Holy Spirit and He lives on the inside of me, then I understand that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is on the inside of me, resurrecting every dead part of my life, in my mind, in my emotions, in my will, in my body, in my life. I am being resurrected day by day, amen, because I have the regenerator, the power of God living on the inside of me. Look down at verse 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Well, I'm a son of God because I was born again, so I will be led by the Spirit of God. Look on down at verse 15. For you didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received a spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. I'm saying I didn't receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but I received a spirit of adoption, and I'm crying out to my daddy in heaven. Verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness, not with our, I'm going to say with my spirit, that I am a children of God. Verse 17. And if I'm a child, then I'm heirs to God. I'm heirs to God and I'm a joint heir with Christ. If indeed I suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. I take those promises and I make them my own by declaring them in, over, and upon my life. By something as simple as believing in my heart and speaking with my mouth. Look at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. The Spirit helps in my weaknesses when I'm weak. For I don't know what I should pray for as way I ought to. But the Holy Spirit makes intercession for me with groanings which cannot be uttered. I thank God for that tonight. Look down at verse 28. And we know that all things, I know that all things work together for my good because I love God. How many of you love God tonight? He said, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. I am called according to His purpose, and I love Him. So I know that everything is being worked out by God for my good, even when I can't see it going on. Can you say amen? Are you starting to understand what I'm showing you tonight? Yes? Look down at verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for me, who can be against me? That's a good one. Verse 34. Who is it who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for me. Jesus is interceding for me. Thank God for that tonight. Look at verse 37. In all these things, I am more than a conqueror through Him who loved us. You can take that and change we to me. You can change that to I and declare that over your life because confession is to say the same thing as. And so when I start saying the same thing that God does, then it releases His power into my life because the words that He spoke are spirit and their life. Okay, let's do a couple more. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Well, Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Okay. So if I'm in Christ, I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new in my life. This has got to stop being general and start becoming personal. Look down at verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. So I say, for he who made him who knew no sin to be sin for me, that I might become the righteousness, there it is, of God in him. Jesus became my sin at the cross. He didn't commit sin, but he took on my sin so that I could become the righteousness of God in him. Well, that's powerful. Anytime you're feeling, you know, unnecessarily guilty or condemned or you're lacking boldness, you declare that out loud. And it goes out of your mouth, back into your ears, through your mind, renewing your mind, down into your heart, okay? That's so powerful for us to understand, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, then the cycle starts all over again. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So look, check that out. I say it to you. You see what I just showed you. You read it out loud and confess it over your life. It goes out your mouth, goes back in your ears. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. The word of God is what renews your mind. It goes from your ear to your mind. It renews your mind, causing you to think like God thinks. It goes from your mind, and it must make that 16-inch drop to your heart. And then out of the abundance of your heart, it must come back up out your mouth. It's okay to regurgitate the word. Amen? It's good over and over and over. How many stomachs does a cow have, Dorothy? Four, okay? And they keep chewing and bring the cud back up. And over. You ought to be that way with the word of God. Man, you ought to be burping up promises all day long. It's always better the second time. Just don't get it on you. That's gross. Yeah, it is true. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 12:9. Watch this. My grace is sufficient for you. God's grace is sufficient for me, for his strength is made perfect in my weakness. I got a whole list of them. How many of y'all are taking notes? Raise your hands. Okay, good. Here, let me give you the rest of them real quick. 2 Timothy 1:7. The Lord hasn't given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Ephesians 1:13. He's already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, verse 4 to 7, packed with things you are. Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I say that when I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He's omnipotent. He never runs out of power, so neither should I. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Colossians 1:13, he has delivered me, past tense, from the power of darkness. When the devil tries to pull a fast one on you and get you thinking that you're still wrestling with him, he's done. He's toast. That lion has had his fangs pulled. Okay, you tell him, no, Jesus has delivered me from your power and brought me into his kingdom. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Colossians 1:22, God has the power and has already prepared you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. Not later, but now. You ought to be saying that over your life, especially if you feel unworthy. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, another powerful one. But here's what I want you to see. 1 Peter 2:24 is another great one. By his stripes, we were healed. Healing is already done in the mind of God, and it should be in yours too. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. That means no matter what, I'm declaring these things over my life. No matter what I see, no matter what I hear, no matter what I feel, this is what's true about me, and this doesn't change. This is true about me, what God said is true about me, whether I feel like it's true or not. Whether I think it's true or not, whether I'm seeing it in my life or not, if I'll just stop being a thermometer for about 5 seconds and be a thermostat and start declaring what God said more than what other people have said, more than what your mind said, more than what your mama said, more than what demons are whispering in your ears, do not give voice to demonic influences in your life, even if it comes from people around you. Don't you ever say, I'm going to quit, I'm going to give up, I feel like a failure. I'm a loser. You are giving life to demonic strongholds and power in you. You open your mouth, and if you're going to say anything, you say what's inside of this book. You train your tongue to say what God says the way God says it. You run everything through the filter of the Word, and if it doesn't pass this test, it doesn't come out of my lips. Okay, this is powerful because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What comes out of your mouth matters. It's not just words. It's more than words. It can't be just God's word to me. It's got to become God's word for me. That's why every Sunday morning at 8:30, we're in here not just praying, but we're in here confessing the word. We're in here giving the Holy Spirit something in the atmosphere to work with. When we get up and we sing, we don't sing anything that's not scriptural. I'm very careful about our lyrics. We're giving the Holy Spirit something to work with. When I preach, I'm preaching not my words, but I'm preaching God's word. We're giving the Holy Spirit something to work with. That's why we see the signs and wonders and miracles, especially salvations, that we see week after week after week. 6 Sunday, 8 the Sunday before, 2 in the prison, 10 the Sunday before that, 630 some last week, 8 hands up in Drive 47 last Wednesday. Souls are being saved here because the Word of God is being preached here. Faith is coming by hearing and hearing by the Word. Amen? Sunday morning, y'all stand with me. Sunday morning, I was in my office and I was wrestling. And I didn't realize what was about to happen. I didn't know who was here, what was going on. I'm in my office and I begin to confess the word. I begin to speak the word. I knew something wasn't right inside of me. I begin to declare the word of God. I'm telling you, it just began to build me up. It began to strengthen me. You know, you see football players jumping around and acting crazy and slapping each other before games and snotting and snorting. You don't have to do none of that, but you know what? I'll tell you what, you stir yourself up when you begin to speak the word. Something begins to rise up on the inside of you. Sunday morning at the end of praise and worship, when I felt the unction to pray for her, I came up and I began to share scripture with you. You know why? It was building faith. It was charging the atmosphere of this place. I didn't want to just pray for that lady by myself. I wanted all of us to pray for that lady, Carol. And I believe, man, God's not done with her. That was huge to walk from here to there for the first time in 7 years. Can you imagine how weak her legs were? I can't wait to see her running. But here's the deal. That is true about me. It's true about you. What God said is true no matter what. And I've got to come to a place, Karen, where I make the decision that I'm going to believe what the Word says no matter what. No matter what I see, no matter what I feel, no matter what I hear, no matter what I think, no matter what reports I receive, I'm going to believe the Word of God. That's what being a disciple is all about. Amen? And if we'll stand in faith on this long enough, things begin to turn around and turn in favor of the Word. Amen? But you got to hang on to it. You can't let go of it. And like I said Sunday, when we begin to speak the word, Psalm 103 verse 20, bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. God said, I am alert and active and watching over my word to perform it. God watches over his word to do it. Again, Isaiah 50, 5:11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Ephesians 5:1 says that you are to be, somebody say, that's me. You are to be imitators of God as dear children. You are to imitate God. Start acting like God. Start acting like God. Well, doesn't that smack in the face of everything religious and denominational? Start acting like God. It's not arrogant. Let me tell you, it's not an insult to act like God. It's an insult not to. Because Jesus bought and paid for every promise in this book, and he has invested you and authorized you and deputized you with his dominion and his authority. And if we don't pick it up and run with it, what good was anything Jesus did? There's more to salvation than just being forgiven of your sins. We got to run with it. Amen? Confession precedes. Possession precedes. Confession precedes possession. I'm twisted up now. Amen? Isn't the word good tonight? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, for revelation tonight. Thank you for giving us understanding. And Father, as we go out of this place, I pray more than ever that we would be a people of your word, that we would spend time in the word every single day, putting the word in. And Father, I'm asking in the name of Jesus that the Holy Spirit would bring that word back up and out of our mouths. And God, we give you praise that it works. It's alive, it's active, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. We praise you, God, that we know how to work the word tonight. And Father, as we go out of this place, show us somebody that we can be a blessing to between now and Sunday. Lord, fill this house. Thank you for every soul you've given us. We pray that Christ be formed in their hearts. We ask that you would protect them from being devoured by the enemy. We pray, Father, that they would connect not only to you, but to your people, to your house, to your word, to your truth. And God, we give you praise tonight. We declare by faith that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Father, we apply the precious blood of Jesus over us. Satan, we bind and rebuke you and command you to flee. You have no place in our hearts, our homes, our lives, or our bodies. Not in our minds, our finances, or our families. In the name of Jesus, we cast you out and command you to go. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. I love y'all. God bless you. See you Sunday.